Today on The King is Coming.
Sometimes we think that if we just walk according to what the Lord's told us to do and obey God and be happy and be nice to people, that they'll be nice back, they'll love us back, and they'll want our God. That's not always the case. Sometimes if you stand for God, then people are going to hate you for it. If you tell them that you love Jesus, that you stand up for Jesus, they're going to hate you for it. Are you ready for a journey in courageous faith? That's next on The King is Coming.
The Bible says in the last days a lone figure will rise. He will be the counterfeit Messiah, the man of sin, Satan with skin on. He is Antichrist. In The King is Coming seven-part video series, Antichrist, The Coming Prince of Darkness, Jeff Kinley digs into the prophetic scriptures on the coming of the Antichrist. Who will he be? When is he coming? How will we know who he is? This series will bring imagination to life as you study the character, the deception, and the mystery surrounding the coming Antichrist. To get your copy today of Antichrist, The Coming Prince of Darkness, call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com now. Thank you. Based on biblical revelations about the coming man of sin, Interview with the Antichrist will cause your imagination to soar and whet your appetite for more information on end times prophecy. The speculative account from Jeff Kinley is more than just a suspenseful mystery. It will give you a window into the character of the Antichrist and how our last days could unfold according to Scripture's ultimate plot. For any gift of $20 or more to The King is Coming, get your copy of Interview with the Antichrist. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you.
Well, welcome to The King is Coming. I'm Jeff Kinley, and I'm so glad that you joined us here for our program today. We're beginning a brand new series called Courageous Faith. We're going to be diving into the Old Testament to see some of the amazing, colorful characters that God tells us about there, and specifically how their faith can be an example to ours. You know, the Old Testament is a time of great barbarism. It's a time of ancient kings and customs and warring tribes and all sorts of things, God's judgments. And so as you think about living during those times, these are times that men and women had to rise to the occasion. They had to have faith in God just to survive. We're going to begin by talking about one of those characters. His name is Noah. Now, you're probably familiar with Noah. You're familiar with the story of the ark. But when you go back and do a little bit more of a deep dive, you find out there's a lot more to Noah than initially meets the eye. First of all, Noah lived during a time that is described as a time of great godlessness. In fact, it's a time where there was no God consciousness on the planet. And it tells us in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great." And it says that it was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And you know, this made God very sad. In fact, it says in the very next verse, "And the Lord was very sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." So when you think about the flood story, you typically think about God's judgment, and that's certainly true. But we learn from the story of Noah that God's judgment initially flowed not from a furious fist, but from a broken heart. And so God's heart was broken over the creation that he himself had made. But at the same time, God, because he's a righteous God, had to send judgment. Scripture also tells us in this very passage that the whole earth was filled with violence. In other words, people were killing and robbing and raping and beating and fighting one another. It was just a wild sort of Mardi Gras on steroids, if you will. And so what was happening here was that there was one man who stood up in the midst of all that crowd, and his name was Noah. In fact, God tells us right here in verse 9 of chapter 6 of Genesis, it says, "Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless in his time. Noah walked with God." Now, we know that Noah was not a perfect man. We know he was not a sinless man, but he was a blameless man, especially in his time. And God desires that each of us stand out from the times in which we live so that people can identify us as being righteous people. And so God comes to Noah and he says, Noah, I want you to build what in essence is a giant floating zoo. I want you to build this thing that is this ark, if you will, this boat that's 450 feet long and 75 feet high and 45 feet wide. And it's going to be able to accommodate all types of species in the planet that are intended to go on in perpetuity in history. And so Noah gets this command from God. And what's amazing about this is that the Bible tells us that it had never rained on the earth before. And so certainly as Noah begins this journey of faith with God, he does it completely blind. In other words, all he's got going for him is the word that God gave him. There's no evidence it's going to rain. There are no other people that are telling him it's going to rain. No weathermen, no forecasters back then. It was just simply Noah and the word of God that he had been given. So how did Noah get to the point in his life where he was called righteous by God? He was called blameless by God. How did Noah become Noah? Where did his faith come from? Well, when you turn back just one chapter to the book of Genesis in chapter 5, we see that Noah had a faith that was grounded. In other words, he came from a legacy of faith. He came from a lineage of faith. People of faith don't just happen. Someone has to pour into their lives. And Noah had this godly lineage, and we can trace it all the way back to Seth when he was born after Cain and Abel. Came Seth, and it says men began to call on the name of the Lord at that time. And so we trace this lineage all the way down to Noah's immediate ancestors. In fact, we have Lamech, who was his father. And we know that in Genesis chapter 6, Lamech named Noah in a prophetic way. In chapter 6, it says in verse 29, he called his name Noah, saying, "This one shall give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed." So Lamech was a man who was a very prophetic man, enough so that he basically embedded in his son's name a prophecy. So Lamech certainly had faith. And then you go up to, from him, you go up to Methuselah. And we know, of course, Methuselah was the oldest man who ever lived at 969 years. And Methuselah had something very prophetic about his name as well. In fact, the name Methuselah means in the Hebrew, when he is gone, it will come, or his death shall bring it. And so within Methuselah's name was the prophecy of the judgment of God coming upon the earth. And so essentially for 969 years, every time Methuselah's name was mentioned, this judgment prophecy was given. And you know, that tells us something about the grace of God, doesn't it? That God would certainly give people not just 120 years to repent while Noah was building the ark, but 900, almost 1,000 years for people to repent. That's a gracious God during this time. And then we go back even further to Enoch, which was Methuselah's father. And so it says in verse 22 that Enoch walked with God 300 years and became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Then it says, and Enoch walked with God, and then he was not, for God took him. So essentially, Enoch was raptured prior to the flood, prior to the judgment of God. You say, Jeff, how do we know that's true? Well, it says he was not. He no longer lived. He disappeared. And it really is predicated upon his righteousness and upon his faith and walking with God. So Noah didn't just appear on the earth out of nowhere. Noah was a man who had a lineage and a legacy of faith. That's how he became Noah. That's how his faith was grounded. And we also know from just the process of Noah building the ark that Noah had to have great faith. It was a faith that was, I call it weathered faith, because Noah was a man who had to go through a lot. It cost him a lot to build this ark. Consider that it took Noah anywhere from 75 to 120 years to build the ark. There were no Home Depots back then. There were no Lowe's. There were no power tools or anything like that. Noah had to go out to the forest every day. He had to chop down a tree. He had to drag it back to the job site. He had to strip it of his bark. He had to begin to saw it, to hewn it, to piece it together. He had to make the pitch, get the pitch together, or the sticky substance that would seal up the ark. And so there were all these things that Noah had to do. And If you put it in our modern context, it would be like Noah beginning a project when he was like in 1949 and finishing in like 2024. That's a long time to have faith. More about Noah when we come back in just a moment. Hi, this is Jeff Kinley with The King Is Coming. You know, each week we bring to you dedicated programming from the Word of God to equip you in how to live for Jesus Christ in this perilous times that we're living in. If this ministry has meant something to you, would you consider a generous gift to this ministry? Just go to the address on the bottom of the screen and give towards The King Is Coming. God bless you. So we know that Noah had this weathered type of faith. It cost him something. And you know, as you and I live in our world, if we're going to have faith in God, it's probably going to cost you something, because God's probably going to ask you to do something that's a little bit unorthodox. In fact, it's going to be unorthodox as compared to the way other people are living, right? And so Noah had this belief in something that he could not see. In fact, we know from the book of Hebrews that the essence of faith is the conviction or the confidence of things not seen. And, you know, you and I exercise faith every day. We go to a restaurant, we order food, we have faith that the food's not poison when it comes to our plate. We drive down the road, we're going over a hill, we have faith that the road continues on the other side. When you get on an airplane and you sit there in your seat and all of a sudden you're taxiing down the runway, you've got faith that the pilot knows what he's doing. So we all have faith in what we do. But Noah had to have extraordinary faith. He had to have courageous faith. And the Bible says that he did that. So Noah was a man who was a hardworking man. There was no glory in what he did. No one's going to pin a medal on you in this lifetime for having faith in God. And certainly Noah didn't have that type of applause, no affirmation. Noah was certainly misunderstood. I'm sure people made Noah jokes about him. Maybe they called his big project Noah's Folly, or made fun of him. A boat, what's a boat? Why do you need a boat? Noah was a crazy man. Just they walked by and just kind of made fun of him all the time. So Noah had to face a lot of ridicule because he was doing what God told him to do. And the same is true for you and I, is that we will face ridicule in our lives. We do this. No doubt he had times of discouragement, times when he wondered, did I hear God correctly? Because sometimes as we follow the path that God has for us, we'll get down the road, we'll go, wait a minute, nobody's following me. This is sort of a lonely path. Did I hear God right? Am I doing God's will? Am I really discerning what the Lord wants me to do? And I love what someone once said. They said, never doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. And so Noah had received this this word from God, clear word from God, and yet he had to continue to do this. So he believed God over a long period of time. And so we look at the scripture here, we see that we come to chapter 6 now, and chapter 6 tells us in verse 22, it says, thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him. Noah's faith was courageous because he took a long walk in the same direction. In other words, he never deviated to the left or to the right. Noah's faith cost him. It cost him physically. In fact, think about what it takes to chop down a tree, to saw up wood, to hammer, to fashion wood together. And we don't know that Noah had really that much help or any help, at least in the beginning. In fact, Noah's sons didn't come along till about 10 years into this vision or this word that God had given to him. It's possible that Noah could have had some other relatives helping him out, but it's not likely. And so Noah's walk of faith was a walk of loneliness at times. I'm sure it cost him relationships. He got dirty. His knuckles got bloody. His back got painful. I'm sure there were times when he could hardly get out of bed. Noah knew that the very next day was going to be like the day before. And this was his job. And, you know, certainly people toiled the ground and grew crops and that type of thing for their food. Noah didn't have to go to the grocery store for these kind of things. So while his wife and then his sons came along, were helping doing that and helping with the ark, Noah also had to eat. He had to survive. And so he was certainly taking care of his garden as well. We know that for sure Noah had probably scars from what he did. So there was a lot of pain, but not a lot of perks, right? There was a lot of scars and sacrifice, but not a whole lot of satisfaction along the way until the ark was completed there. And, you know, sometimes standing for your faith and doing what God has asked you to do will cost you. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And certainly there are believers all across the world that are being persecuted today. Here in America, we're not as persecuted. It's more in social persecution right now, and it's beginning to heat up in different areas. But Noah in his day, nobody was a Christian. Nobody was a believer. And so Noah had to do this walk of faith by himself. And I think about what Jesus said in John chapter 15, where he said, look, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Sometimes we think that if we just walk according to what the Lord has told us to do and obey God and be happy and be nice to people, that they'll be nice back, they'll love us back, and they'll want our God. That's not always the case. Sometimes if you stand for God, then people are going to hate you for it. If you tell them that you love Jesus, that you stand up for Jesus, they're going to hate you for it. And Jesus said, don't be alarmed or surprised by that. That's pretty much the norm, he says, because if they did this, if they crucified the most loving, kind person who ever lived, what are they going to do to you and me as our world continues to look like Jesus' day and the days of Noah? So surely they will mock our belief in Jesus. They'll mock our belief in his return. But yet Noah continued on in his journey of faith. And that's one of the examples that we have in the Old Testament of someone that simply said, look, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to walk for God. I'm going to live for God in the time that he's given me, because he's given me a command, a mandate in this world. Did you know that God has given you a mandate as well? You know, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 says, Jesus says, as you are going into the world, make disciples of all the nations, teaching them all that I've commanded you. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and I'm with you to the end of the age. Listen, you and I are under divine orders. We're under a divine mandate. Fortunately, God hasn't told you and I to build an ark, but he has told us to build people. He has told us to make disciples in this world. So maybe just in a quick pause, maybe to ask yourself, how am I participating? How am I helping? How am I facilitating the building of disciples, the making of disciples in this world? How am I using my testimony, my witness, my influence, my finances, my resources to help the gospel of Jesus Christ? And that's why we're so thankful for those of you who come alongside this ministry and partner with us, because we simply can't do it without you. So we're able to come alongside you and you alongside us, and we're able to help make disciples really across the whole world. Well, that's part of what Noah was doing. He was just simply obeying God, hoping that somebody would follow him. Unfortunately, nobody did, except his own family. So there were eight people that ended up on the ark, and the Bible says that the flood came and destroyed them all. Why did that happen? And how did Noah respond to it? Next on The King Is Coming. Here at The King Is Coming, we are dependent upon the monthly donations to provide these programs to you every week. If this ministry has meant something to you, would you consider becoming a monthly partner with The King Is Coming to enable us to continue to bring this ministry to you and to the world? God bless you. So Noah was a man with fearless, persevering, courageous faith. Noah was swimming upstream against the current. Noah was outnumbered billions to one. So when you think about getting up tomorrow morning and going to that workplace where you're outnumbered by unbelievers, or maybe you're in an environment that's not conducive to Christianity, you walk the halls of your school, or you go on the college campus, or you're in the neighborhood and you just feel like, wow, I just don't have any fellowship here. Know that that's exactly what Noah felt like. And yet he kept on hammering. He kept on sawing. He kept on putting that pitch on the ark, just waiting for the day when God would bring those animals. And, you know, many times in our lives, we think about sometimes our faith is sort of casual and we sort of accessorize our life with God. But there was nothing casual about Noah's faith. He had to live for Christ and for the Lord all the way to the end, all the way until his mission was finished. And so that's the thing about Noah that I love so much is that Noah was a finisher. Noah was a guy, he didn't just start well, he ended well. And it takes no effort to be average. It takes no effort to be mediocre, but it takes constant faith to be able to overcome not just the world, but your own heart as well. And maybe you're struggling right now. Maybe you're thinking, wow, I started something for the Lord, but I didn't finish it. I started a commitment, maybe a commitment to serve in your church, or maybe a commitment to partner with a ministry, maybe like ours. And maybe that commitment is lagging behind. Hey, get back in the game. Get back on the field again. God's waiting for you there. And pick up that hammer and get back to the ark. Get back to working in what God has told you to do. So as we said, once the ark was completed, the animals began flooding towards the ark, two by two. And it was really of a divine calling that these animals came. And so they came two by two. And someone has said that we ought to be, sometimes with our faith, we ought to be like the third monkey trying to get on the ark and it's about to rain. That's the kind of faith we should have, just always working and fighting for the Lord. But the Bible says in chapter 7, in verse 16, it said that those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded them. And then it says, and the Lord closed the door behind them. So Noah didn't pull up a rope. Noah didn't seal it up. The Bible says that God himself closed that door. And that meant that the day of grace was over for planet Earth in that generation. Now you think about the sobriety, the gravity, really the darkness of that moment. The rain clouds had fully gathered. The floodgates in the subterranean storehouses were ready to burst forth. And when God shut that door, not a single person on planet Earth could repent anymore. You know, there's coming a day like that again during the last half of the tribulation period. There's going to be a time when at least Gentile people are not going to be able to call on the name of the Lord. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 10 through 12 that at some point in the tribulation, I believe it's at the midpoint of the tribulation, God himself will send a deluding influence so that planet Earth will believe a lie. And I believe the lie is about Antichrist. And God's going to shut that ark door once again to salvation. But now the door is open. The door of the ark is open right now. You know what's interesting? I was reading in the Science Journal of June 13th, 2014, because a lot of skeptics will say, well, the flood was local. Flood didn't really happen. How the Grand Canyon, the mountains, and all these things formed, it just kind of happened over millions of years. But look what Science Journal discovered. It says, U.S. geophysicists have discovered a hidden ocean 400 miles beneath the Earth's surface, three times larger than all of the world's oceans combined. So you want to know where the water came from? It came from within the Earth. And guess what? There's more down there. Now, God promised not to ever flood the Earth again. We know that's going to happen. He put the rainbow in the sky so that we can know that that promise is sure. But the Bible does tell us in Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, it says this, that the fountains of the great deep burst open and the floodgates of the sky were opened as well. And so God flooded the earth and it said it destroyed everything that had the breath in their nostrils. Every living creature that could breathe air was destroyed. And this is a horrible, awful, terrible, apocalyptic type judgment. But guess what? There was grace for all of those years. And part of that grace came through a man who was exercising courageous faith, a man by the name of Noah. And so as we think about Noah's life, we can be encouraged, we can be inspired, we can be motivated by what Noah did. Noah's faith was grounded in the Word of God into a legacy. And if you're a parent or grandparent listening to this message right now, just know you have that great privilege and responsibility of helping to instill, to pour into your children and your grandchildren the Word of God. It's such a great privilege that we have. Noah's faith was seasoned. He had a history of living for God over the long haul. And we know that Noah was not sinless, but he lived for God for many, many years. Noah's faith, his courageous faith, was willing to pay the price. What is God asking you to do that might cost you a little bit? If you step out on faith, others may look at you and they may say, I'm not so sure you should do that. Or your own heart, your own mind may question what you're doing. Just obey the Word of God. Do what God's told you to do, and you'll be in God's safe space. And then the last thing is that Noah's faith was persevering. Noah never gave up. He never gave up. Noah's boat was not a half-finished project. I've had a lot of half-finished projects in my life, in my home. But guess what? Noah, he finished the work. He did it all the way to the end. And that's why perseverance in our faith is such a great quality to have, because you know what happens? It builds our faith muscles over time. We don't get strong by going to the gym once or going to the gym twice. We have to do it over and over again. And over time, you know what happens? We end up developing these muscles. And these muscles help us during challenging times in our lives. So God is looking for men and women, boys and girls, who will follow Him during difficult times, who will exercise courageous faith in a time where courageous faith is lacking. Maybe God's calling you to do just that. If so, then step out on faith today. Pray a prayer and say, God, make me like Noah. Make me live for you and do your work on this earth. We'll see you next time on The King is Coming.
In a time of uncertainty and spiritual slumber, Jeff Kinley awakens the modern church with his innovative guide to the book of Revelation. Just as the Apostle John and Paul urge believers to wake up and strengthen what remains, Jeff inspires a renewed readiness for Christ's return. Discover not just signs of the times, but the spirit and character Christ desires for His bride. For any gift of $20 or more to The King is Coming, ask for your copy of the amazing book, Wake the Bride, Facing These Last Days with Your Eyes Wide Open. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Join Jeff Kinley in our newest series, where ancient questions meet brand new insights. Questions like, how can Christ be both God and man? Why is there so much pain in the world if it was created by an all-loving God? This series will invite you to ask hard questions. It will challenge your thinking and push you to seek God for inspiring revelations only found in the Scriptures. Ready for a journey that challenges everything you think you knew about faith? Let's dive in together. For any gift of $45 or more to The King is Coming, ask for your copy of our amazing 7-part DVD set, Uncovering the Mysteries of God. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you. Today on The King is Coming.
Sometimes we think that if we just walk according to what the Lord told us to do and obey God and be happy and be nice to people, that they'll be nice back, they'll love us. Base it on a specified date. I just know that this is beautiful that I don't know, because it causes me to be expectant for His return and to live by faith to tell others about it before that time. Welcome to The King is Coming. You know, we get hundreds of questions here every month about the Bible and doctrine and theology, and specifically about the end times. We're going to answer some of those next on our program. Here on The King is Coming, we're starting a brand new series called Wake the Bride, based on my book by the same title. It's how to start your own personal revival in your heart from the book of Revelation. And we're offering this special series on DVD, and I want you to take part in it. You can find more information at thekingiscoming.com.
To get your copy of this 5-part DVD series, Wake the Bride, call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you. In a world where chaos and evil mirrors some of the darkest chapters in Scripture, our need for a return to God has never been more urgent. As it was in the days of Noah, a groundbreaking teaching series by Jeff Kinley uncovers startling parallels between the time of Noah and our culture today. Discover how rising evil and widespread godlessness echo the days leading up to the Great Flood. For any gift of $45 or more to The King Is Coming, ask for your copy of As It Was in the Days of Noah combo set. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you.